complain about this before. People just say, oh, just integrate it into everything you're doing already. But, you know, you just can't. You can't make, you know, something out of nothing. So, or you can't just say, I'm going to, you know, cut the TB control program to look at climate change indicators or whatever. So, we definitely need more resources. So, you know, hopefully next week we'll get some good news and there'll be some money flowing towards this.
We had a saying with the American Lung Association, no money, no mission. So, I mean,
next presentation is by Zoe Clayson, and it is impact of climate change on population, migration, and public health. So we're going to have quite a diversity of topics, but I think it's by the end going to be quite seminal in our understanding of climate.
Thank you very much. When I was walking in today, I saw this great map. I don't know if you've seen it out there by the Kellogg Foundation that said local action, global health. Just is excellent. And it really strikes me, it really captured my interest, because what I wanted to focus on was really perhaps a somewhat different lens than my colleagues have here on issues around migration and public health that are really the result of these various climatic situations. So what I'm going to go over is some issues around global health and development and some local effects that also have regional consequences, because from a global perspective, unless we have the involvement of communities and local people in identifying issues and finding solutions, we're not going to have sustainable solutions. And one example would be the food system impact. Another has to do with the creation of environmental refugees, which is a multiplier for poverty and instability. And then I ask the question about how does this reflect upon choices having to do with mitigation or adaptation strategies that are developed. And a lot of my thinking on this topic really became more crystallized when I attended a conference in Alexandria, Egypt in May that was on climate change development and evaluation indicators. And there were colleagues there from largely from Africa who spoke a lot about the fact that it's the same vulnerable populations, it's the same populations that are going to be differentially affected by climate change issues. So it's going to add another layer onto what they're already experiencing. And they had a lot of, we had a lot of very interesting conversations that also made me think a lot about this local dimension and how these issues need to have multi-layered strategies that include local people and local communities that are affected, at the same time that we have to develop policy change and political will at the larger level. So one example that I wanted to give was that in areas that are now, and I'm talking now globally, that depend upon agriculture as their basis for their community, for their economics, and their political infrastructure, when those areas no longer can be agriculturally, can no longer have agriculture going on. For example, when there is topsoil depletion then reduces agricultural production, and agricultural production then is decreased, which then affects the food system overall. And that's going to be the number one issue of the 21st century, are issues around the food system. So as a result, you're going to have increased migration from those areas, and we see that now. I've been doing some work with Promotoras in Mexico in a binational exchange program, and they were saying that in their local communities, they're seeing just in a matter of several years a change in topsoil, where they had crops growing before, and now crops can no longer grow there. So with the increased migration that would be created by these circumstances, you're not only going to have decreased food security overall at a local, regional, and nationwide level, but you will have the intensification of population problems as urbanization increases, and then you will have the problems of density, infectious diseases, increases in infant mortality, et cetera. A second example that I wanted to talk a bit about was about water temperature changes that would be a result of climate change. And I've also been doing some work with the School of Public Health in Hanoi because they are working with their government ministries to develop some strategies along the coastline that have to do with what they are expecting maybe changes in the fish population. Because again, the fish population changes, the fishing industry is impacted. As the fishing industry is impacted, you have increased migration from rural to urban areas, and the result being this sort of increased intensification in urban areas that has both economic and political and health impacts, that all of the issues that we know that are associated with urban poverty. In reading about environmental refugees, there's literature out there in the last few years in particular, and one report that I recently read estimated that there would be 150 million people that would be considered environmental refugees by the year 2050 if we didn't start implementing some of these mitigation and adaptation strategies now. And that was a low estimate. That was a low estimate. And one UN official said, I like this quote, which is, when leaving is not an option but a necessity, this is more than poverty. So as the previous speaker was also giving you a considerable amount of data about damage to ecosystems, agriculture, infrastructure, and human health, I wanted to emphasize then that what's needed are multi-sectoral strategies to address this problem, because we need to have strategies that are implemented at the policy level. We need to have strategies at the sort of nation level, at the regional level, and at the local level. And sometimes I think that in this conversation, often the local voice is left out. And that was something that came home to me when I was at this conference in Alexandria, that there were people from various African countries that worked with communities. These are all people that were in some area of environmental science or with governments or with non-governmental organizations. And they talked about the importance of involving community members in both identification of changes that are going on in the community and the development of sustainable solutions. So what I see is that we need that local voice incorporated. We need to have our research and our scientific findings incorporated. We need to be involved in dialogue on a multi-sectoral level by those that are involved in this issue. And I think perhaps most importantly, we need to be involved in really looking at this also as a situation that cannot be solved without the political will to solve it. So that political will, it's not just a scientific issue, it's not just a participation issue, but it is clearly an issue that needs the political apparatus that is both international and national and local. We need that buy-in that this is important and that it will affect economies, it will affect political infrastructure, and it will affect political public health issues as well. So what I see is really a stark choice now, for now and for the future. And again, it can't really be solved by just one set of strategies, that it needs a multi-sectoral approach that includes public health, that includes political people, that includes economics and development in order to really find sustainable solutions. Thank you.
I think that was a great integrative piece, and I'd like you for you to maybe field some questions from the audience in that regard. Anybody like to think systems or think integrative that would throw something out? I certainly think it played off of my last comment about the food system, and we have some great opportunities when you really start looking at land use, not only from the standpoint of the interplay between the energy and the like, but I see a hand going up, so I'm going to shut up. Stand up and identify yourself, please.
Rita Hinden from Western Massachusetts. This is kind of making a couple jumps. I've been very much involved with the joint sessions on food and nutrition and environment, and just was in the previous session, maybe also
obesity in the built environment. I think one of the keys, and you may want to comment on this, but I was trying to get at that, is that we are looking at agriculture sometimes as does it go towards fuel production or does it go towards food production? And there have been sessions now on that as a critical choice. And some of the innovation is equally as important in both areas, a sustainable food system or a sustainable transportation efficient transportation system, which then gets into the built environment issues. Do we need as much fuel? But I think that there's a number of issues related to climate and our footprint and the like. Did you have any comments that you wanted to make? Because you just barely touched the surface on some of your topics, and I thought it was great.
It was meant to be sort of a broader. Yeah.
Yes, Kathy. Thank you. The next presentation is a European public health perspective of climate change, the infectious disease challenge, Jan Semenza.